towering wall of limestone. When you feel these things, you're feeling the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
I love to play with you, run and jump all day.
Are you in need of child care? The HFCC Child Development Center provides state-licensed quality child care for children from 2 years 9 months to 12 years of age. The children must be toilet trained. Child care is available Monday through Friday for children of HFCC students and staff, as well as the community. The center is located on Henry Ford Community College's main campus in Dearborn. The center can provide all day, part-time, evening, and temporary child care in order to help accommodate your busy schedule. To enroll your child, please call 313-317-6527. That's 313-317-6527, or visit hfcc.edu.
As long as I'm with you, we'll have lots to do. Let's play together.
WebAdvisor is a secure internet program that allows HFCC students and faculty to safely access their college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, current students may register for classes, drop in classes, pay for classes, retrieve grades, view and print schedules, get updates on financial aid info, check account balances. Log on to WebAdvisor at my.hfcc.edu or from the HFCC homepage at www.hfcc.edu.
Good afternoon, this is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Barbara White, and she is a self-awareness teacher. And before we get started, I do want to say that the views and opinions expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of this radio station or Henry Ford Community College. With all that being said, I just want to say hello, Barbara. How are you?
Hello, Mike. How are you doing?
So far, so good. We'll have to see how it goes here, but very good right now. What is a self-awareness teacher?
Great question.
Well, we start with the basics.
Yes. To talk about self-awareness, we have to become aware of how, or conscious of how we're not aware. So many of us walk around in automatic pilot. So we go through the day, and we're really just responding to what's in front of us. So if conditions are good, we feel good. If conditions are bad, we feel bad. And so circumstances and conditions really do define most of how people feel. And if you were to say to somebody, well, you can feel good when conditions are bad, they would probably have some understanding of that. But in self-awareness, what that means is you make the decision that this body, this mind, your emotions are not who you truly are. And you can make that decision in the mind, but it's through a compassionate witnessing or an awareness of your mind, your body, and your emotions that you cultivate that. You cultivate the observer self within you. And that is a continual process of witnessing. And so in self-awareness, it is such a rewarding thing to do for yourself, as well as guiding others in how to do that. Because when you're identified as the mind, you go into what's called the monkey mind.
Okay, and that is?
The monkey mind is where you have racing thoughts. You are trying to figure everything out in the mind. Worry, stress. When you're identified as the body, you do things like feel guilty about your body, try to shame your body, get surgery for your body to make it look better. When you're identified as your emotions, you become a drama queen. You go through a lot of tissues without really going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And when you're identified as your awareness, then what happens is you free yourself into your genius self, your power, your joy.
Mm-hmm. When you say tissues, you mean tissues you cry into?
Tissues, or, yes.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. Human tissue, I didn't know. Well, quite what you meant, you know.
Yeah, there is that saying, there's issues in your tissues, but I meant Kleenex tissues.
Right, okay, yeah. Yes, I felt that often, right, you know, yeah. Issues in the tissues. Okay, but would you say, in essence, you're a life coach or not necessarily?
Mm. Well, a life coach really is going to give somebody give them step-by-step, like a game plan, like a coach. So a coach will tell you, hey, this is the game plan. This is how you are going to execute this plan, and this is where X go over to Y go. So a life coach is going to give you more of a how-to.
Mm-hmm.
In self-awareness, it's more of a clearing the blocks to your true identity, clearing the blocks to the power, the greatness, the health, the magnificence that is you. And then that person, when they learn how to clear that, or they allow me the privilege of holding the space for them, so that those blocks can be cleared, that answer already comes up. So it's not something they're creating in the mind. It's something that is emerging from them.
Mm-hmm. So you feel it's a privilege to work with people?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great attitude, because you're not trying to force yourself on somebody. Is that correct?
Well, it's... I'm not trying to force myself on anybody. that's kind of funny. But...
You've done it in the past, have you?
No, just okay. Where that statement could be taken.
Oh, yeah, right. we're a family show, so.
Yeah. I'm not looking to... I'm interested in somebody being a student of themselves,
mm-hmm.
of being able to listen to their inner guidance and listening to their gut, and being able to fine-tune that connection of the self between the self. So there is people that do force themselves in the essence of, they tell you, this is how it is. This is what it is, and you follow what I tell you to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people have got enough people doing that in their life. I'm more interested and feel it. It's joyful to see somebody come into their own. And then a lot of people that I work with have already come into their own and are seeking to even go farther in their growth and farther in becoming who they truly are.
Mm-hmm. So you just help bring that about. I know, according to your website, you have been called the midwife to your soul. Mm-hmm. Now, did you come up with that, or did somebody else mm-hmm. coin that phrase?
why midwife to your soul? Well, no, I have not come up with that phrase. People began to call me that because the process of self-awareness or the process of self-acceptance is so beautiful. And when you have somebody that is tapped into that, or can honor and respect the magnificent power of self-acceptance or self-awareness, and then hold the space for somebody, the process is very much like a birthing process. You have the gestation phase, the conception phase, where the person begins to look within. They go, oh, there's something more here in life that I need to be doing. And then once that conception happens, then there's the gestation where they start learning, they start growing, they start looking within. And then once they start looking within, taking classes, coming to a self-awareness teacher like me, reaching out, really growing and coming into their own, there is the birthing phase where they start letting go of all that that doesn't serve them. Because the process of becoming who we are is a process of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Letting go of old beliefs, old perceptions, letting go of things that we don't even know consciously that we're holding on to.
Right.
So once someone comes down the birth canal, so to speak, then they start getting their legs, and they start that next phase of the process is where somebody is like kind of like an infant. They start speaking their truth. They start learning how to set proper boundaries. They start learning how to speak the language that's on their heart to the relationships, and they start cultivating healthier relationships. they start cultivating a greater at-one-ment with all those around them. And then when they start becoming a young youth, they start expressing, because the goal of all of this really is for that person to express the divinity with them. Everybody has a unique talent or gift within them. Everybody has not only a gift within them, but a mandate to deliver their soul's gifts into the planet. And so once somebody starts looking within, starts cultivating emotional awareness, start letting go of old beliefs and perceptions that don't serve them, start applying it to their life, in their relationships, and all that they do, meaning they are truly authentic in what they speak and they feel, and then they start delivering that gift into the planet, that's when it's beautiful. That's mm-hmm. when they have truly start to express that soul's gifts into who they are, and they know that all that is love, all that is God, all that is spirit is here to express through them, as them, and in them.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, people are delivering what they're supposed to in life to humanity to improve the world, in essence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to something you said, people realizing that they have to break through and improve themselves. It's the old saying, sometimes people can be their own worst enemy. Is that true?
Well, the thing is, we all self-sabotage. And yes, it is true. So to answer the short yes,
mm-hmm.
We all know those things that we could be doing for ourselves to take care of ourselves. We all know those things, those words that we need to be saying to that loved one. We all know that thing that could empower us, but we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the big secret is we all hate ourselves. All humans hate themselves.
Right. They're just not happy with themselves for one reason or another.
Well, it's the beautiful part is it's not that we hate ourselves, oh, let's be so negative. It's that's the fertilizer. That's the mud to our growth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're able to first admit that you don't like yourself, because pretty much everybody, almost everybody, doesn't like themselves.
Right.
And once they're able to admit that and learn how to love it, it can be a great fertilizer into becoming who they truly are.
Mm-hmm. So if they pick apart their looks, they don't like the fact that they're this or that, you help them overcome that by just accepting themselves. I mean, in that perhaps they're overweight. They're not happy about that. But you teach that person to accept themselves as they are. Not that, oh, well, you need to lose 20, 40, 50 pounds, whatever the case may be. Is that correct?
Well, it's if we took something as weight, Marianne Williamson has a great quote, which is, weighty consciousness makes weighty body.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And part of what I have the honor of doing in session is gently pointing out those smudges on the mirror and seeing why we're creating what we do. Why are we? Because first something is created in the mind, and then it's created in the body. First something is created in the mind, and then our actions and words, maybe consciously or unconsciously, is creating that kind of condition around us. And weight is something that there's usually some very good belief, very good perception of why they're creating that weight in their body. It's not that they just eat too many hamburgers. It's not that they're not just exercising.
Okay.
It's usually, like for women, there's mm-hmm. there's a belief and a perception within women that they're afraid of being beautiful
mm-hmm.
because they have a certain amount of fear when it comes to radiating that light within them.
Mm-hmm.
Weight, of course, can also be a way of repressing your emotions. So many of us have not been taught what are emotions for, mm-hmm. how to allow our emotions, and not to judge ourselves as weak or less than because we have fear, doubt, and worry. A lot of us have been told that we are weak, and it's just affirm it away, think it away, and it'll go away. And our body will always, always, always try to get our attention. So everything in the body, there are a few exceptions, but everything in the body, any ailment, has an emotional reason behind it and a belief and a perception behind it.
Mm-hmm. And real briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest is Barbara White, and she is a self-awareness teacher. Now, getting back to what we were just talking about, whether it be food, drugs, or whatever, it's more or less a masking agent to get a person through life? Is that what they use these different things for, whether it be food, drugs, alcohol, anything like that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And but the approach that people take with that is usually a very self-critical approach. So let's say somebody was eating a bag of cookies because they had a bad day. And their loved one walks up and says, you know, if you didn't eat that bag of cookies, you wouldn't be so fat. Right. And the loved one that's eating it says, thanks a lot, and then goes and eats two more bags of cookies.
Right.
So those critical thoughts that we have running through our head, those really cruel thoughts, everybody's aware of those. Like, mm-hmm. So when the loved one walks up and says, hey, if you didn't eat those bag of cookies, you went so fat, or go and try the Self-Atkins blah, blah diet.
Right.
Many people already know that within themselves, so it's not a matter of just stopping the behavior. It's more of learning how to, in awareness, witness themselves in the behavior, forgive themselves, bless the behavior, and from forgiving themselves, they won't do it. Whatever we judge, we become. Mm-hmm. Or another way of saying that is whatever we fight against, we get more of. So if I was to push against something, if you could imagine a finger pushing against a brick, the brick, law of physics, pushes back. So judgment has a huge focusing energy on it. So if I get mad at myself for eating that bag of cookies, you guarantee that I'm going to go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen success with over and over and over again is when people just bless the cookies, they consciously eat the cookie and they bless and they say thank you cookie and they eat it. Mm-hmm. Now that does first require somebody being aware that they're eating it. So some people, even though they know the bag of cookies is making them fat, it's not good for their body, they may not even be aware that they know it's doing that, but they're unmindfully eating. But then once they say, okay, I'm eating this, and I bless it, and I forgive it, and I forgive myself, a lot of times people end up letting go of that bad behavior. And that goes along with alcoholism, drug addiction, that first you become conscious of what you're doing, but then you don't beat yourself up that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I know one of the things you stress on some of the material that I've seen on your website and in your articles and Body, Mind, Spirit Guide is that you have to be honest. You have to be honest with yourself and with others. And that's very hard to do sometimes. I think that is one of the things that people are afraid to do, is to be honest with themselves or with others.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because we believe we have to fix it. You know, it's like if I was to admit that I was doing this to myself, then where do I go from there? And to know the power of forgiveness, to know the power of acceptance, is something that we either haven't been taught or we fight against, but that knowing that whatever we accept transforms, whatever we love transforms. You can beat something up as much as you can beat yourself up as much as you want. It may work temporarily. It's kind of like I could say, I'm going to get my fat butt to the gym, which may work temporarily, but eventually I'll burn myself out. Mm-hmm. Or I could say, I'm ready to love and appreciate my body, and I'm going to go to the gym and encourage it with this. Probably a good chance that person's going to stick to that plan longer. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is being honest with ourselves, but not brutally honest, compassionately honest.
Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, if a person accepts themselves as being overweight, and they really are happy with that, they have no problems with that, that's okay too, though, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you wouldn't recommend that for anybody abusing drugs or anything, I'm sure. But again, to try to face the problems, I know you also say that your life is a mirror, in essence, and that whatever is reflected back to you is what you're kind of showing is in the picture in your life. And what's reflected back to you is the things that you're putting into your life. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
It is correct. And I want to just circle back for a moment that remembering that when you accept something, just like your own body, like so a cut on your arm knows how to heal. And so you don't tell it how to heal. You don't direct it how to heal. You don't bring that cut up to your face and say, "Cut, I need you to heal." And you don't tell it. It just has that intelligence within it. Mm-hmm. The same thing within our own life. There's a divine intelligence, there's a grace, there's a flow, and there's a stream of well-being. And as you accept something, it's going to return to homeostasis or return to balance. Mm-hmm. So if that body is meant to be at 200 pounds, and it's just some of us have chunky bodies. We have a misperception, of course, of thinking we have to be the model or whatever.
Right.
If you accept your body, it will return to homeostasis. It will surrender to that stream of well-being. It will return to the flow. So that's the beauty of acceptance. Acceptance will never, ever, 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 ever.
Okay, that's ever, correct? Okay. I just want to make sure.
Ever. Okay. Keep you in a place where you are. Acceptance always will bring change.
Right.
So I just want to add that in. Now, to your question about mirroring, that is also a very, very empowering spiritual truth, to say that there's nothing outside of me. I love to teach this in this fashion with a story. So if I had an insecurity about my big toe, and somebody walked up to me and said, you know, Barbara, I really think your big toe is ugly, I would have a reaction of insecurity, mm-hmm. and I have a choice in that moment. I have a choice to keep the power in my hands and say, whoa, thank you, life. Thank you, all that is God. Thank you for bringing this mirror to me to show me that I have an insecurity about my big toe. Mm-hmm. That's being the victorious to my life. That's being empowered in my life. Or I could play a victim, and I could say, you just made me feel insecurity. You are responsible for my happiness. And now you that just said that to me, you need to change so I can feel better.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that implies a lack of control over your own life.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But that is essentially our society, is we're walking around saying everybody needs to change so that we can feel better. And everybody's throwing movies at the... We're throwing movies. We're throwing rocks at the movie projector. Or, mm-hmm. no. Hold on. Okay. If you're going to do an analogy, you got to do it right. Rocks at the movie screen.
Okay. Yeah, let's rip that down. We don't like the movie.
Yeah, and the movie is our own. The law is I have to experience my perceptions. Mm-hmm. I would love to have the perception of Christ or Buddha, but I don't. I have mm-hmm. my perceptions. So the law is I have to experience what I perceive. If right. I perceive heaven on earth, I experience heaven on earth. If I experience hell on earth, I will experience hell on earth. And that's why when people start taking responsibility for their emotions and they start learning that as they feel them, they're healing them. And as they learn how to love those feelings, what will happen? Because that process, you will never, ever, ever, and I'll put one more ever, and I won't hold a whole bunch of time. You'll never get why you're feeling what you are until after you felt it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important, because so many people are feeling sad, feeling mad, feeling fearful, and they try to find the why before they've allowed that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If you take responsibility for that feeling, like you said, like being a mirror, knowing it's my feeling, the weather didn't make me feel it, my boss didn't make me feel it, my wife, my husband, my children, my dog, it's my feeling, and I love it, and I feel it, and I either journal it, or I just breathe and let myself feel it, I go for a walk, the fruit at the other end of that feeling is a new perception, a new belief, an aha, a revelation, epiphany. Mm-hmm. And if they can allow that feeling, they will get a whole new upgrade of how they look at the world. It's very exciting.
Right. But I would imagine a lot of people feel the fear of letting go and changing. I think change sometimes is very, very fearful, you know, to a lot of people. They don't really want to embrace change because, you know, whether it's good or bad, they accept life as it is. And it's mm-hmm. hard to change. And I think a lot of people are afraid of change, and they just don't want to face the fear factor in that they need to change or they should change, because it's a lot easier to stay stuck where you currently are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well said. I don't know who wrote this, but it's a great quote that says, when the fear of change is doesn't seem as daunting as the pain of remaining in the bud. And I didn't quote that right, but essentially that it is through illness, it is through things that causes pain that a lot of people change.
Mm-hmm.
But as you become more and more self-aware, you have a choice to grow through pain and perspiration, or you can grow through joy and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I agree with you, Mike, a lot of people do grow through pain and perspiration. Mm-hmm. Or they don't grow at all, because we can have things changing, but we have an option to grow or not.
Right. We have that choice. Again, it gets down to free choice as well.
Correct? Yeah, that damn free will.
Yeah. Well, that could be a good thing, though. But again,
kidding.
If things don't happen, though, they can always say, well, hey, it wasn't meant to be. You know,
yeah.
The powers that be didn't want it to happen or whatever. But to that, you say what? That, no, that's not true. You can change things. You just have to put some effort into it and make it happen.
It really, we do, as a society, we are looking to put our power in other people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
We put our power in the politicians. We put our power in a religious figure. There's many people that are very scared, yes, to take responsibility for their own life. But it's not through an inner criticism or judging. It's more of taking your power. It's more of claiming you're here to deliver who you are into the planet. And so you're right. I mean, a lot of people are afraid to change, but it is far more painful not to. It is far more painful. And I think as a society, we are, and as a world, we are waking up. And there's a beautiful, beautiful growth that's happening. And you have two camps that are going on right now. You have the camp that feels the world is falling apart. And it's not the world is in the world. It's the world, they think it's the world's falling apart, the medical system, the economy, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is that people's worlds as in their perceptions, their beliefs, their world as in their space is falling apart. And what's beautiful is this old pattern, this old paradigm is falling away. There's something new that's coming out. And if you start embracing change, if you start embracing growth, you won't be so scared and so fearful and think the world's falling apart. You'll be able to see what's seeking to emerge into the planet right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, you are contributing something to the planet. You're giving the world your gifts. And again, it gets back to, and I believe this, and I'm sure you do, in the core essence of everybody, they know what they're supposed to do on the planet Earth. But again, to actually do it is very difficult. They might tell themselves, oh, you can't do it, or you can't do it because of this. You know, you're too old, you're too young, you don't have enough money, you have too much, whatever it might be, there's always a reason not to do it. Do you find that often in the people that come to you?
Absolutely. And the reason not to do it, the reasons, some of the most common reasons are we've been taught what is a good person. So a lot of us hold in, so I'm talking about just the most common reasons that people don't grow. We've been taught that suffering is holy, or that to deprive myself is actually makes me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody is running that belief and that pattern within their life, well, probably it's going to, you know, for them actually loving themselves and taking care of themselves, and then they wonder why they don't have enough money, you know, when they have that belief running, can keep somebody from growing. Or they have been taught that this certain framework, this is how you act, this is how you be, makes you a good person. And trying to be a good person is really a fundamental block for people to grow and change. And that's why the message of you are loved as you are, you're already loved. If you're trying to fight or prove your goodness or your godliness, you'll never find it, because it's not something that can be earned. It's not something that can be fought for. It's not. So if you still I guess what I'm saying is a big block to people's growth and change is trying to find their goodness, their worthiness in actions, in what they do, in the image that they present. And so if they believe that makes them a good person, it will be very scary to let go of that.
Yes, very scary.
And so it points back to why self-love and self-acceptance is so powerful, is because when you know that you're already loved, you're, whether you want to call it the divine child, or you're, the core essence of you is beauty, the core essence of you is power, that you're not seeking to create that, you're not seeking to make that happen, you're just simply seeking to remember that. And that's the process of self-growth, self-awareness. You're not creating yourself, so to speak. You're remembering the lovability, the the joy, the peace, the divinity that you are. And then as somebody starts to cultivate that, a lot of old beliefs or even fear of change can fall away.
Right, right. Hopefully, anyway.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a lot easier. Mike, you seem to have a... that it's hard. It's not hard. It's
right. Well, I guess that's my own perception. You know. But because, you know, most of the people are afraid of change and they don't want to let go because they're stuck in their little rut. And like I say, whether it's good or bad, they know that and they want to stay there. You know, they don't want to grow.
How about this? What is complex or hard is from the mind. So when something seems like a struggle, or you're swimming upstream, it's usually because you're going in the wrong direction, and it's a creation of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Growth is, it does take inner work, it does take feeling your emotions, it does take radical self-compassion and self-love, but it's a hell of a lot easier than staying where you are. And there is such a, with all the different, you just look at the movies that are coming out right now, you look at the books that are coming out, you look at the birth of this education. Yes, there is, you can look at the negative or the stuff that's not going so well, but there's just this new growth, this new movement that's happening that is very, very exciting. It's, you look at the raw food restaurants that are birthing up, you look at the massage. Like, my beautiful town of Plymouth has, I counted, I think, 14 healing centers.
Mm-hmm.
People are craving this. People need this. People have hit the wall of running those old patterns, of trying to get more, trying to find their joy in these external things. People have hit the wall right now. And this, I mean, this is why this show exists. This is why we're having this conversation. This is why my book is doing so well. This is why, because people need to know that they're loved, and they need to know the simple, simple, powerful tools of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about being loved, are you talking about love from God or the God force, whatever you want to call it, or is it a combination of self-love and God's love?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's we could get into a lot of theology here, but what I...
Well, yeah. Let's keep it simple.
Yeah.
Okay? Simple is best.
And I'm not here to how does Michael Beckwith say it? Not here to intellect. I forget how he says.
WHFR.FM would like to thank. Thank everyone who pledges now at www.whfr.fm.
It is correct, and I want to just circle back for a moment that remembering that when you accept something, just like your own body, like so a cut on your arm knows how to heal. And so you don't tell it how to heal, you don't direct it how to heal, you don't bring that cut up to your face and say, cut, I need you to heal. And you don't tell it, it just has that intelligence
right.
within it.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing within our own life. There's a divine intelligence, there's a grace, there's a flow, and there's a stream of well-being. And as you accept something, it's going to return to homeostasis or return to balance.
Mm-hmm.
So need to know that they're loved, and they need to know the simple, simple, powerful tools of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about being loved, are you talking about love from God or the God force, whatever you want to call it, or is it a combination of self-love and God's love?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's we could get into a lot of theology here, but what I
Let's keep it simple.
Yeah.
Okay? Simple is best.
And I'm not here to how does Michael Beckwith say it? Not here to intellect. I forget how he says it. But anyways, to keep it simple is, I was working the other day with a client who is an atheist. And I said, you know, I'm really not here to give you more beliefs. I'm not here to tell you how to do it. I just want you to feel or experience, whether you call it energy or love, and know that they're to feel it as who you are. And so I don't want you to think it. I don't want you to create another belief about it and create a war about it. I don't want you to, I just want you to feel it. And I asked him, I said, are you willing to do that? And again, free will is very important, because if you're willing, you can have a magnificent life, and if you're not willing, you can go the other way. So I said, are you willing? And he said, sure. So we started witnessing his beliefs, and I asked him if he could release certain beliefs or thoughts. And beliefs in the sense of they're just congealed thoughts. So he had a belief that he was to blame for something, and he had a belief for something else. And I asked him, okay, if this belief is true and you surrender it, it will come back even stronger. And if you surrender it and you have a whole new understanding, then fantastic. So as we did that, this atheist felt that love as him. So it's all spiritual truths always have a paradox. So it's that we are each an individuated expression. We're each an individuated expression of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we're all one. So love, God, spirit is everywhere, but not in one place. Now, in the mind, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself. But in the heart, when you feel the presence, when you feel that love, you know that you are loved and you are loving and you are that love. That there's that omnipresence, that omnipotence to it. And so at the same moment, you are loving, you're being loved, and you are that love.
Mm-hmm. Which is all good. Usually, right?
All the time.
Yeah, okay. Very briefly, I just want to remind everybody once again, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Barbara White. She is a self-awareness teacher. Now, when somebody comes to you and they say, Barbara, I'm not really happy with my appearance. I want to get plastic surgery done on my nose, whatever the case may be. Do you try to change their perception and say, just accept yourself as you are? I mean, obviously, if they've been in some horrible accident or something, yes, okay, maybe get plastic surgery. But just for cosmetic sake, do you try to dissuade people from that?
I will usually never try to tell somebody what to do or what not to do. What I would ask them is, can we find out why you're doing it? And the why or the intent behind our actions shapes our actions. So for instance, if I'm giving you a hug because I genuinely just feel love in my heart, and I'm giving you a hug because it's an expression of the love within me, that hug's probably going to feel really good to you. But if I hug you because I just want to get a hug, or because I want to get your business, I want to get something from you, that intent is probably going to feel, the hug will feel shallow.
Mm-hmm.
Same. So knowing that our intent, or you also could say your perception, shapes that action. The problem is, and this ties in, this dovetails into what we've been talking about, most people don't know why they do what they do. And so if you ask somebody, why are you doing what you're doing? They'd say, because I want to.
Right. Or they think they'll be happier.
Right. Right. I'll get happiness from this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's knowing that really anything we try to get outside of ourselves, whether it be happiness or love, is only going to be temporary and fleeting. And that's always the paradox to the mind. You know, it's like we're all standing in a room with our hand in a jar, holding on to the rotten apple with the abundance of everything around us. And it's knowing that we lack nothing, that all our needs are met, that everything within us is already there. But our mind will fight that. And that's when I tell somebody, I say, okay, let's gently look at the part of you that doesn't know that all your needs are met. Let's gently look at the part of you that doesn't know that you're beautiful just the way you are. So back to your question, the person with the plastic surgery, I would just ask, can we look at why you're doing this? Now, if that person is doing it because people get plastic surgery who love themselves. That, you know, that's mm-hmm. that's a very much a possibility. So they love themselves, and they just want their outer self to reflect that inner beauty. now, probably the other majority, I don't know, 90% or whatever, it's not like I've done a study, is really trying to correct the outside to make the inside feel better, but it, as per what we're saying, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe for a year or two, but then they, you know, something else to feed that empty hole.
Right. Well, they say once you start with plastic surgery, you know, you're not content with just one procedure. You have to get, you know, several more because all of a sudden, you know, this doesn't look right or that doesn't look right. And again, it gets back to what you say. It's something outside of yourself. You know, somebody else, the surgeon that's doing all this, you know, plastic surgery, it's something outside of you. He's doing it. It's not really what you are doing yourself to correct the situation. Is that right?
Absolutely. And it's if people do start asking those questions, I mean, a tool you can ask if you just get still and you turn off all your distractions, your cell phone, your radio, and you breathe for 5 or 6 minutes and you ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And you don't answer the question right away. You actually, kind of like sending out an email. You send the email out and you patiently wait. And so the mind, the linear mind, is always going to think, oh, I got to go to the store. Oh, I got to get milk. Oh, I got to go next door. That's the linear mind. Your higher mind or your observer self or your spirit, whatever you want to call it, it's that those new ideas is going to always come from like an aha place. I love Deepak Chopra. He has a study. I can't remember where the study came from, but it's on his work, Physics of Healing. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how with all our technology and all our dark field microscopes and all that we have, we can't find where a thought originates in the brain. And so they are showing that a thought really comes from that energy outside of us, that soul, that self, that true self, that authentic self. It comes from that. And the way to tap into that is to get still and start asking the right questions. Not, oh, why is this happening to me? Why? Ask questions like, what is my true intent here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And then just patiently waiting. Or asking questions like, how can I deliver a greater version of myself into my life? How can I love myself? And so it's, I forget your question right now, but that's my answer.
So there we go. Well, one thing I want to know is, you know, do people come to you and just say, Barbara, help me change? You know, can you show me what direction I'm supposed to take in life? And that maybe I don't know what my mission is, but maybe if I talk to you, that decision will be made and I can go forward in life.
Yes, people do, and it's part of the joy of being the midwife to the soul or midwife to somebody's greatness is seeing that new self come forward. I've just felt privileged and honored that creation has given me a gift to help people to find that, and I can. So many people that were doctors who wanted to go into holistic medicine, people that were in accounting that wanted to all of a sudden find their purpose and go to something different, or people that didn't have a vocation at all, helping them to find that inner purpose, that inner direction.
Right. But again, you know, it might be the accountant that really wants to be a farmer. That's something that they've dreamed about all
Absolutely.
Their lives. Absolutely. And you try to encourage that?
Well, when somebody follows their heart, there's a saying where God guides, God provides. But it's really when, it could also say it, when your heart guides, your heart will provide. And when you're doing something that, in fact, actually, just had an example today. And I don't think she'd mind me sharing. Her husband had a job where it was a huge promotion, but it was against his inner nature. It was against his own heart. He didn't enjoy it one bit. And because of, you know, the believing that, oh, I don't have enough money, or but he knew he was going against his own inner heart, his own inner integrity. And so what happened was he ended up creating all these different areas where money was being bled out of the family, all crazy things where money was being pulled out. And so he said, you know what? I know where my heart guides, it will provide. So then he goes to the lesser paying job. And all those bleeds that were happening, different house things, different weird insurance things, boom, stopped. So here when he followed his heart and he did what creation had written on his heart to do, it was provided for. Some mm-hmm. people make an instant leap like that. Some people will just gently move into their gift. Another example of that, had a client the other day that she always felt like a hypocrite in doing her engineering job. She always felt like a fraud in it, and she could never figure out why. And now that she's embraced, she's an amazing cranial sacral therapist. She says, I realized it wasn't that I was a fraud. It was just I was in the wrong job. You know, it's like if everybody could courageously admit what they want to be doing, knowing that they're dream bigger, think bigger, that they have so much within them. It's like I have my beautiful sisters. They both have these dreams, and they're just starting to follow them. And you just see their faces light up. It's like, oh, no, they didn't leave. One of them didn't leave her job to pursue this dream, but she finally let herself do it. Instead of watching TV, instead of just going through rote, she started singing, and it's just the joy seeing her face when she talks about it. It's like if we actually started delivering what we want to do, and not going into what Abraham Hicks calls how hell, how mm-hmm. am I going to do it? How is it going to happen? We just started taking those baby steps, those things, like those little steps that we can take every day. Something great will be delivered within that, will show up for that person.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, something you kind of touched on, and that's the fact that I think people are fearful. They get locked in. They're afraid to change because the family comes along, they have a great paying job, but to change would be, you know, a dramatic switching of roles. Perhaps they're not making the money they once were. There might be housing problems. I know you raised several different examples just, you know, a few minutes ago. But I think that really, really affects people. They are just simply afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that to be true sometimes?
Absolutely. People are afraid, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's many people, especially men, are afraid of fear. And
okay. Yeah, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, right?
Yeah, and blah, blah, blah.
Roosevelt, yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. There's two ways to the journey. There's the emotional, which is the feminine, not gender-wise, and that's allowing, accepting, surrendering. And then there's the other side of the journey, which is just as important, which is the masculine, which is action, movement, saying what you need to say, conviction, will. And that's very important. In our society, we've been very focused on the masculine, which is just do it, just get mm-hmm. it done, just don't feel fear. And
right.
And I'm not saying there isn't a place for that. There's a time when you have done enough inner work. You're in the uterus. You've grown. You've cultivated, and you need to just start doing it. You just need to start applying what you know. Okay, yes. But a lot of people need to take that first crucial sacred step, which is, it's okay where I am. It's okay. I'm afraid. And I'm going to forgive myself. If people just looked in the mirror and said, "I forgive myself. I'm loved already," and they breathed it in, and they welcomed any resistance to that. They welcomed the fear to that. And they did that every night for 5 minutes, and they did it for a few days straight. Wow! I've seen such great changes in that little tool.
Mm-hmm.
They just look in, and they say, "I forgive myself. I'm loved already." And then they would start seeing these subtle changes happening. See, we think we have to make change happen or make that happen. We think that we've got to go into action before we've changed our consciousness. Another story, I had a client that was in the IT industry for 10 years and really striving to get ahead in his IT industry. And he said this to me. He said, "Gosh, I wish I would have known it was as simple as just changing my consciousness so that my job would change." So he worked on the need for approval from his boss and finding that approval in himself. He worked on loving and forgiving that fear and changing his perceptions and beliefs around that. He worked on letting go of his father's approval and finding that love and approval within himself. And boom, 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 it took about 2 years. Boom, he got the job he always wanted without doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
When you line up with that, knowing that there is this, the same force that turns the planets, the same force that creates the seasons, the same force that makes plants grow is also available to you. And as you allow yourself to feel it, as you forgive yourself, as you love yourself, as you let go even a tiny bit, you'll tap into that force where your heart guides, your heart will provide. As you listen to your heart and you start taking baby steps from that, life becomes a heck of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. In other words, just go with the flow?
As long as it's your own flow.
Mm-hmm. Not somebody else's.
Not somebody else's. Mm-hmm. I love my mom. She's so great. And she used to say that for a while. And I said, you know, Mom, I think you're talking about going with everybody else's flow. And she knew it. And she's doing her best to change that pattern. But she, you know, many of us will go with other people's flow. You know, I can intuitively or empathically, or I can feel what you want to, you know, give me the pat on the head, whether you be a friend or a boss or a lover or whatever. And I'm going to go ahead and respond to that. And so, as long as it is our own flow, because our own flow isn't necessarily the beautiful part, as I love myself, as I go with my own flow, as I walk to the beat of my own drum, that flow is the one flow. That flow is the harmonizing principle within all people. Mm-hmm. And so it's such a paradox. Again, all spiritual truths have that. As I love myself, I realize that I'm part of that ever-expanding connect that is the one self. See, people think that loving, it's not selfish. Selfish is I'm trying to get something from somebody. Selfish is I'm trying to ask you to change so I feel better. Selfish is I'm blaming you for how I feel. Self-love, which could sound selfish, but it's self-love, will actually free me to express who I am in my job, in my words, and let that expression be who I am versus trying to find it as a validation of mm-hmm. who I am. Huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, something you mentioned earlier, and that is forgiving yourself, and I believe that's important. Not only that, but isn't it important to forgive others as well? I mean, people that perhaps you feel have wronged you in the past, whether it be parents, again, a wife, husband, friend, whoever it might be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the more you practice forgiveness, you know, I practice self-forgiveness about 500 times a day, and other people 500 times a day. And what I mean by that is as you forgive others, you realize it's really forgiveness of others is always about forgiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that is because you realize that as you forgive. Now, I have to add this in because I've seen this pattern so many times. Because religion teaches forgiveness, many people will forgive before they've processed the pain, before they've allowed themselves to feel the hurt. Oh, you know, it's been a week, you should be over that. Oh, it's been a month, get over that.
Yeah,
so
right.
Many people will jump to forgiveness before they've truly forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've admitted the hurt's there, and you felt it, and you've either journaled it, or you've gone to somebody to help you through it, or you've just allowed yourself to feel, knowing that feeling is healing, then as you choose to forgive that other person, yes, that is huge, 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 because the walls of defense we create on our heart are actually keeping out the very love and support that we want to have in our life. So all those walls of defense, all those grudges that we hold are blocking the very good that's seeking to come to us. And so it's knowing that love will never hurt us, but our own self, judgment, our own walls to love hurt 10,000 times more painful than the actual event. Mm-hmm. So the event happened, but what hurts even more than the event, and some people have been through really horrific events, what hurts more than the event is the wall that we create to the love that life, that all that is life, all that is God, all that is spirit is seeking to bring to us, and then letting that event or that thing get one more day of our life. So that's why forgiveness of others is always about forgiveness of ourselves. Do we have time for me to say a mantra around that?
Go ahead.
Okay. So a very great mantra is, I forgive you, I forgive myself. As I release you, I release myself. And then the person takes a few breaths and feels whatever's there. Maybe a whole bunch of anger comes up, maybe sadness, maybe you need a good cry. And then you repeat it again. I forgive you. I forgive myself. As I release you, I release myself. And you breathe. And if you're not for sure who to forgive, then just sit and say, okay, who do I need to forgive? And it will come up.
Right.
And So as you say that, I forgive you, I forgive myself. As I release you, I release myself. And you process the pain that goes on with that. And you also be willing to see the situation differently. That is one of the most powerful spiritual tools I could ever put in somebody's toolbox, which is, I am willing to see this differently. But you don't go and try to analyze and figure it out with the brain. Again, you want to let that higher mind or that true self or that a compassionate observer within you speak to you. So once you have said that mantra and you felt and breathed and you've done it a few times, maybe a few days, then you can also say, I break all negative energetic ties with you. You have no power to affect my destiny. I set you free to your highest good. And then you breathe and you let them go. And you can keep on repeating that as many times with you as you want. You can do it with something as surface as like somebody just cut you off in traffic. Because mm-hmm. if you hold on to that anger from traffic, you go into your job, and then you create chaos in your job.
Right.
Or you can
snowballs.
Do, yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think it's more important for a person to start forgiving themselves first, or forgiving other people that they have felt that they've been attacked by this person mm-hmm. for whatever reason?
Well, some people need to start with other people because they're not ready to see that it's really self-anger. It's really, like a client I had the other day, she was really angry at her husband for controlling her. And then later on she saw that she was really angry at herself for choosing to stay when she could have been free. So a lot of times we have to start with forgiveness of others, and then go into forgiveness of ourselves, and we realize, oh, I'm really angry at myself. I'm really beating the heck out of myself because we think that, we think we have to be perfect, because we don't embrace in our society the concept of growth. Mm-hmm. If we embrace the concept of growth, I'm always growing. It's not something I just do when I'm a teenager. It's not something I just do when I'm in my 20s.
Right.
I'm
it's
always
lifelong.
Growing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. if we embrace that and we say, okay, I'm never perfect. You're never perfect. It's okay. But that's also not I'm not perfect and I'm just a loser. It's saying I'm not perfect and I'm also here to deliver my soul's gifts into the planet as creativity, as beauty, as power. And I know that I, as well as you, Mike, are an agent of peace, are here as an ambassador of the new paradigm of peace, meaning as we let ourselves be magnificent, we are teaching by our living example. But we also know, so it's both, right? Spiritual truths are always both. I am magnificent and so are you. I am powerful, so are you. As I embrace that for myself, I embrace it for you. And I'm growing, so I don't have to be perfect. And so I'm continually laughing at myself, because it's really important that we don't take ourselves so darn seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right, very important. It really is. You know,
it is.
I mean, we get all, you know, uptight because we can't relax, just, you know, experience the fact that we are human, we all make mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, get over it or have a mm-hmm. good laugh and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's we're human, we make mistakes, but yet we are, our divinity is expressing through our humanity. And as we accept our humanity, we will know our divinity.
Mm-hmm. Warts and all.
Warts and all. Boogers mm-hmm. and all.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, however you want to put it. Once again, I just want to mention that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Barbara White. She is a self-awareness teacher. Now, something we really haven't touched on that I would like to ask you, how did you start along the path you're on right now, sharing your gifts with the world and humanity?
So I had the honor and joy of being raised in natural health. And
what does that mean, natural health?
Qigong, herbs, acupuncture. So my father was in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt a calling to do something around this. And for me, I began in natural health. So I got my training, my degrees in natural health. And then I opened up my first healing center with my father. And it was hugely successful. But I noticed the people that I was talking to would have these spontaneous healings. They would have life-changing events. And it scared the bleep out of me.
Mm-hmm.
It really, because we're not afraid of our, we're not really, as the famous quote by Marianne Williamson, we're not afraid of our darkness, we're afraid of our light. We're afraid of how magnificent and beautiful and gorgeous we are. So when I saw my gift coming out of my mouth, I got scared. So I fought it for like 3 years. And then finally was just at a breaking point, and I finally had to accept it. And when I did that, I had to kind of show myself that a lot of life is proving to yourself you're going to be true to yourself. And then once you know you'll be true to yourself, you can be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I love that.
Easier said than done sometimes.
It's a tongue twister, but I'll say it again. No.
Right.
So as we prove to ourselves, we'll be true to ourselves. And really showing that we're going to follow our heart, then we can be ourselves in the world and feel free. And so it took me a few years of fighting it. And then as I did, I had to really show myself even more I'd be true to myself. And I dismissed about half my clients and didn't really have any financial backing or nothing. And once I did that, I had a guy just walk into my healing center from Chicago, and I'm in Northville, Michigan, wanting me to write for the Health and Fitness Times, blossom from there. And then I had people inviting me to go do other healing works, healing talks. And then I had amazing Penny from Body, Mind, Spirit Guide.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a great medium. So since then, it just took off. It just complete. And since then, I've actually developed from years and years, over 40,000 hours of working with just listening to people's amazing spirit, helping them just love themselves. There's really five main patterns that we get trapped in. And I have a 9-month course called the Self-Acceptance Teachers Program that helps people to realize themselves as love and beauty. And a lot of therapists, a lot of Ayurvedic practitioners, a lot of doctors take it, and people that are laymen as well take it. Is this where I'm supposed to do all the plugging stuff?
You might as well, because I have to ask you that. I mean, we're getting kind of late in the show, so yes,
yeah,
by
okay,
all means.
Okay, great. So there is Discovering Your Gifts and Talents, which is May 21st, which is at Spirit Rising Yoga, a really wonderful yoga center out in Brighton. And then I'm doing that workshop again out at Yoga for Peace in Southgate, and mm-hmm. that is June 11th. One spectacular workshops. And then June 3rd and 4th, I am on the board of directors of a nonprofit called Health and Inner Peace. And we are doing a retreat up at Song of the Morning. And that is with an amazing healer and loving heart, Dr. Eldridge. And that's June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And that is at Song of the Morning up in Vanderbilt, Michigan. And you can go to acceptedasiam.com, and that's acceptedasiam.com, and see all the details of that. And you can also go to 734-455-1438. And the last thing I will plug is the amazing amazing material of Magnificent You. It is spectacular material of reminding you of the love that you are. Each chapter is just a powerful message of reminding you of the truth, the beauty, the love that is essentially who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go to the website, Accepted As I Am, for the book, or you can also call the phone number, 734-455-1438.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you just wrote?
That is something that I just wrote. It took about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the second book actually is going to be out soon. That's been a 10-year work in progress. That is taking the five main patterns that we sabotage ourselves and gently showing people how to love them. And that book, Why Self-Acceptance is So Powerful, will be out in about a month.
Okay, so look for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to believe that the work you do is very gratifying, because like you said, for a while there, it's almost you were afraid of, you know, completing the mission, so to speak, mm-hmm. doing what you're supposed mm-hmm. to do. But now that you're really into it full-time, this is your life, it has to be very gratifying.
Oh, I wake up every day saying thank you, thank you, thank you. It's and I feel like when we are delivering our gifts or we're doing what our heart is guiding us to do, it is so gratifying. And to see people just transform right before